and we go to our guest. I think this is our first hit with him since before Christmas, because Christmas and New Year's both fell on a Tuesday. So for the first time in 2019, we go to our guest on the Byers Barricades hotline. He's no Hunter Renfro on the Triple Threat on Sports Radio 610. Hello, he's no Hunter Renfro. That's what Brian McDonald put on the hotline page.
That's very, very funny and creative, Brian.
Wait,
super sly.
DA, where would Hunter Renfro? I know, even though you're retired from the NFL, that you still are actively recruiting members to the WCC, the White Club Connection for slot receivers.
Yes, sir.
I feel like Hunter Renfro would be somebody that you guys have had your eye on for quite some time.
You know what? We thought he was going to be eligible 3 years ago. I think he's had two medical red shirts, a green shirt. He's played in every national championship game since there's been a college football playoff. So good for him. But yeah, he's definitely an honorary member of the college committee, which you know, you get favorable treatment should he make it. But you got to get in the league. There's no college group.
Oh, don't worry, DA. He'll be catching 80 passes from Tom Brady in no time now, at all.
And Tom Brady will be 52 throwing to Hunter Renfro.
Exactly,
sure.
Exactly. And by the way, Hunter Renfro's been around forever. This is for those who don't know Hunter Renfro, the slot receiver for Clemson, who feels like he converts every third down for that team.
He made the biggest play when Deshaun won it.
He did
a couple of years ago.
He did, but not only. Does it feel like he's been there forever? Have you ever seen him without his helmet on? He's got Major Applewhite's hairline. He looks like he's 32 years old.
He's got the Matt Schaub going.
He does.
Hey, Dabo talked last night about how when he and a couple of the other guys who had a chance to jump to the NFL announced a little over a year ago, or I guess about a year ago, that they were going to stay, how big that was for the boost for the program. You know, that's all well and good, but I think you guys probably know where I am on that. If you've got market value and you're risking that market value by playing another season of college football, I don't think you're that smart.
Well, let's be honest. I don't think Hunter Renfro was actually going to blow up the combine as a junior.
No.
I think it was in his best interest to probably stay another year. So people, they love and they hate that, right? They love to see their favorite college players come back because they want to see them play for the team that they love and have another shot at Alabama. That's a great story, and I respect kids for doing it, and who knows? Maybe they actually do want to go get a full education. So I support it. No, it didn't seem like anyone got hurt or blew their chances. So
no.
I major props to those guys at Clemson.
So you're in Vegas right now, huh, D.A.?
Yes, I am. If you can hear, I'm walking the streets of Vegas to CES.
Are you on the Strip or are you on Fremont Street right now? What part of Vegas are you in?
I gave up my days on Fremont. I'm back on Las Vegas Boulevard.
Okay, all right.
Fremont's old school.
I kind of like Fremont's kind of grimy, DA. I kind of like Fremont.
Not kind of grimy.
I mean, you don't have to explain any more than what you just said, Sean. You are kind of grimy and you like Fremont.
So. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, teach their own. Where are you staying?
Oh, we're at the MGM.
Oh, look at you. That's nice. Wow. What are you out there for?
CES.
Okay.
And to place a couple of fat bets on the Las Vegas Knights. I'm starting to dabble into hockey now.
You are the most underrated degenerate in my Rolodex of people that I know. You're dabbling in hockey.
I believe I'm a degenerate. I'm not a degenerate.
Okay. All right. Yeah. How's the hockey gambling treating you so far?
I have no idea they're playing the Rangers. We're just going to have to see. We're going to have to do some last-minute research and see what happens.
What could possibly go wrong?
Hey, speaking of sports wagering, the most unlikely, according to the odds makers, Super Bowl matchup from this point forward is Colts-Eagles. And Colts-Eagles obviously both look really good over the weekend. Eagles going to New Orleans is a tall order. But am I wrong to think that the Colts might have it in them?
The Colts, I like over Kansas City. But then if they win that game, I don't like them in New England. I would say that's where I get hung up on the Colts. As for the Eagles, I mean, they're a tough team. I don't think anyone wants to play them. They're built a lot like Dallas. Everyone in the NFC East is built a lot alike, and Dallas always gives the Saints trouble. So I expect the Eagles to give them lots of fits. But anyone playing in that dome in New Orleans, we'll struggle slowing down Drew Brees. So it's just a matter of can they keep up and scoring up points.
Well, of course, the Texans, they know all about the Colts from what happened on Saturday at NRG Stadium. As you were watching that game, DA, what What were your takeaways on the offensive side of the ball and what the Texans – do we know what the Texans were trying to do offensively on Saturday yet?
No one does. The thing that I think I mentioned this to you off air, it felt a little bit like almost the national championship game when Deshaun Watson was playing in it, where every third and five he was trying to create. If they got in a bad situation, second 15, he was trying to do a little extra to make a play. And it's the playoffs. Everyone's moving a little faster, but you don't try to do anything drastically different than what you're already good at. And I think that's where the game got away from the Texans a little bit, is now all of a sudden you make a couple of mistakes, you're down 14-0, you try to make up for it, then you're down 21, and now it's pretty much a hole you can't get yourself out of. And it just didn't feel right. They never had a rhythm. They got kind of exposed as a younger team, and even their speed and their defensive line didn't really help them out too much.
D.A., there's a lot of talk in town this week about, does Bill O'Brien need to hire an offensive coordinator? Does he need to hand play calling off to somebody else? And what that means in terms of the offense, I don't know. You know, if it were to happen, is it just somebody who's calling the plays out of O'Brien's playbook? Is it an architect for a new offense with the Texans? I'm just curious. Obviously, if they were to do that, that person's going to have a really close relationship with Deshaun Watson. Let's pretend for a second that Bill O'Brien hired David Anderson to be the offensive coordinator for the Texans. What would your first couple pieces of advice be for Deshaun Watson?
I mean, you got to go back to what kind of got him there and look at the biggest mistakes that he made throughout the season and try to just limit those play calls first and foremost. And I think what I always struggle with the Texans is it seemed like they stuck with plays that they believed were good that weren't just good plays. They tried some seven-step drops, they tried some longer passes that just didn't really work well for them, but they went back to the well too many times to try to make it work. They had a couple runs that just never – they kept beating their head against the wall on a couple runs. They never really opened up the middle of the field with a tight end or Kiki, and that's something that they couldn't get on the same page with because I don't think any of those guys really showed up throughout the year. So they really need to help Deshaun out, and really from that 0 to 10-yard range, give him options all throughout the field, because that's when if you're creating with your feet, that's where you want to throw the ball. It's either there or you put your foot and throw it over everyone's head, but you don't want to throw the ball, 14, 15 yards downfield, 20 yards downfield when you're on the move. A, it's a hard pass, and B, that's where a lot of bad things happen.
Well, a couple of the reasons, D.A., that I like that I think the Colts are kind of a live dog at this point in the postseason. The Texans, among the things they did really well this year, was stopping the rush. And the Colts destroyed them running the football in that game. Add that in with their ability to protect Andrew Luck. I mean, are they that good as far as that O-line and setting a tone?
You know, this is like when people used to analyze how we played the Colts and they would beat us with Peyton Manning. The truth is, if you get down 14-0, you just throw your game plan out the window and you're praying to score some points. You're praying to slow them down. And there's not a bad play in their playbook. So it's really hard to analyze what the Colts did against them. If that game had been close and we could look at three quarters of play, that would give you a better idea. But within the first 8 minutes of that game, you knew it had a drastic adjustment would have to be done for the Texans to get back into it, and they just couldn't make it happen.
Well, that leads me to something we talked about quite a bit yesterday. I think, yes, 14-0, maybe you make some adjustments, but if you're still in the first quarter, do you really throw the game plan out the window?
You don't have to throw it out the window, but you got to do something fast, right? Like, I think you got to figure out a way to generate some points. They couldn't get anything going by the whole first half, so they didn't throw it out the window, but they had to figure out a way to get the ball in the end zone because they knew they're going to get the ball to Andrew Luck, and they hadn't really stopped them. So it's less like we're worried that they're never going to score again. It was like, all right, let's say they stay on this pace. How are we going to keep up, and how can we get a turnover? How can we make something happen? Because we need a couple, a tip ball to go our way, which they got one down 14-0, but they couldn't convert. So they had opportunities. They just couldn't make it happen.
David Anderson joining us for his weekly visit. D.A., what can you tell us about Matt LaFleur? He was an offensive quality control coach when you were with the Texans back in 2008 and 2009. When you were here and he was here, did you look at him and go, that guy in a decade is going to be the head coach of the Green Bay Packers?
It's unbelievable for Matt LaFleur to be the coach. Probably a lot of things I could say is that if I had retired and been coaching, then maybe I would be a head coach by now. But this happy for him. That whole group always worked really hard. That Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay kind of tree. Matt knows his stuff. I taught him what half the routes are, so he knows what he's doing. But, you know what I mean? Like, obviously, it's a trend going on right now, and the NFL is full of copycat. It's a copycat league, and even when it comes to hiring coaches. So everyone wants the smart, under 5'8", white football coach right now.
No, D.A., I said earlier, it's almost like teams aren't even looking at they're not even looking at resumes. It's almost like they're just looking at birth certificates and headshots in a media guide. Like, hey, if you're handsome and you're under the age of 40 and you've coached a little bit of offense, we want you. Cliff Kingsbury, I don't know if you heard, D.A., Cliff Kingsbury just got the Arizona Cardinals head coaching job.
Yeah, I know. That means Lynn Swann's going to get fired.
Yeah.
It's kind of a joke. Not a joke. I mean, the Green Bay, I read a tweet. Someone said Green Bay really stepped outside the box. They hired a white former offensive coordinator, not named Mike this time. His name was Matt.
Yeah, right in line.
The other coaching news is that apparently the Buccaneers are closing in on hiring Bruce Arians to be, well, pretty much Jameis Winston's tutor at quarterback in Tampa Bay. Could that work, in your opinion?
No. Not a big fan of the quarterback situation over there. I think they need to move on. This is pretty simple.
Do you think it's not going to work? Because my guess is Jameis Winston is going to be playing under a one-year deal, the fifth-year option. And my guess is they're looking at it and going, yeah, if anybody can make it work, it's Bruce Arians. But you think ultimately Tampa Bay will be a team that's in the market for a quarterback in 2020?
I lose you?
Yeah, you think that ultimately Tampa Bay will be a team that's in the market for a new quarterback in 2020?
100%. I think they need to make moves. It's not really something you like to do as a head coach, is take a job where the quarterback situation is uncertain. Kind of reminds me of Kubiak when he got here with David Carr, a high top pick that everyone kind of believed in but wasn't going to make it. You got to make moves. You're not going to be there long as a head coach if you don't have a winning quarterback. And so they go hand in hand, and Bruce dealt with this in Arizona with Carson Palmer and some other issues, so it's time for him. And I'm sure he's learned, and maybe he'll give Jameis a year if he really likes the quarterback class that's coming out. I'm willing to bet they'll pick one, but if not, they'll definitely pick one the next year.
Anyone who's heard this segment knows that all things football and beyond are fair game. Let's talk college football for a moment. Your thoughts on what happened last night in Santa Clara, and in a perfect world, would Trevor Lawrence be eligible for the NFL draft?
In a perfect world, that +190 bet hit, and it did.
Bam!
Clemson money line, take it or leave it. Anderson took it. That was what I was talking about. I smelled it in Alabama. They smelled like some suckers. And when I saw them at halftime, I should have doubled down on them, because that team, there's no way that team can come back from a deficit. They're front runners that whole year. So that's my only regret in that game. Otherwise, I saw that come in. Clemson, I think Dan Orlovsky actually put it pretty well on ESPN. They had a bunch of superstars, and superstars that weren't scared. Yeah. You look at that Clemson team, they weren't scared. They didn't flinch when people were hitting them. That Trevor Lawrence didn't flinch. Their receivers didn't flinch when they got hit. Their running backs didn't flinch. Their linebackers didn't flinch in the hole. Everyone else Alabama played just has that slight hesitation when they're hitting these big fellas. And they didn't do it, and kudos to Dabo and those guys. They were not only fired up to play from last year, but they were prepared and ready and just simply outplayed Alabama.
I mean, I know it would be a lot to ask for a teenager to enter the NFL draft. I guess Emobi Okoye was a teenager when the Texans drafted him.
Yeah, he was like 12.
But doesn't he – I mean, to me it feels like he could handle
it. Because he has a Cro-Magnon face. That's what you're being sold. And if he had a baby face, you wouldn't say that as much. He's still a very young football player. He still has some very young QB traits that need to be polished up. A lot of those passes which get touted as amazing are pretty lucky. I think it was one of his fourth touchdown where he barely got over the middle linebacker. You could tell that wasn't – he didn't see him. If that ball is 2 inches low, that's an interception in the red zone. So there are things that I think everyone falls in love with because of one game, but the guy's only – he hasn't even started a full college football season yet. So let's let him – let's let teams try to figure him out and see what he can do next year. But, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt he's going to be a top 5 pick and make an ungodly amount of money.
All right, D.A., so you're in Vegas, so you're off your show tomorrow night. Is that right?
Yeah, no show for Dave.
All right, no show for Dave. Are you going to be playing some blackjack? What game do you play when you're in Vegas, when your free time is there? Do you sit in a sports book, or do you play any of the table games?
I'm a blackjack guy, and whatever wins or losses I have left after about a couple hundred bucks, I put down on the Las Vegas Knights tonight. So let's go. We're rooting for the Knights over the Rangers.
All right, there it is. Houston, let's all join hands metaphorically and root for David Anderson and the Las Vegas Knights tonight and go get that win. D.A., we appreciate it as always. Safe travels. Enjoy Vegas, man.
Nice, guys. Have a good one.
All right, thanks, David Anderson joining us on the, or as BMAC would call him, not Hunter Renfro. He's no Hunter Renfro.
That's technically accurate.
He is not
Hunter Renfro.
He is not Hunter Renfro, although it's tough to gauge tone from merely some typed words on the mini screen on the phone right here. But I sense some snideness.
I didn't see Colorado State win two national titles.
True. That's also factual as well. Yeah, okay. Well, I guess it's tough to argue against, BMAC. Thank you. All right.